نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this the 8th lecture in our series concerning the explanation of the Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah by Al-Imam Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Abi Zayd rahimahullah, we would like to continue with the following point. After mentioning the opening words of Al-Imam ibn Abi Zayd that he began this essay with, باب ما تنطق به الألسنة وتعتقده الأفئدة من واجب أمور الديانات, that this is a chapter concerning that which should be spoken on the tongue and believed in the heart from the obligatory matters of deen, of religion. And he began with mentioning the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then a number of other matters of importance that are the essential matters of the aqeedah of Islam, al-aqeedah al-islamiyah, the true aqeedah that is based upon al-kitab wa sunnah, the Qur'an, the speech of Allah, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the authentic reports or narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this section, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd rahimahullah talks about a number of matters related to the affairs of the next life, those things that lead up to and are connected to the Akhirah, the next life. And he talks about, amongst other things, the mizan, or the balance, on which the deeds of people will be weighed. And he talks about as-sirat, or the bridge over which the people would pass in order to enter into paradise. And he talks about al-hawd, or the fountain of water, which the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would drink from before entering the paradise. And he began this section or this paragraph with the words, wa anna Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala yaji'u yawm al-qiyamah wal malaku saffan saffa, that Allah the Blessed and the Most High will come that Allah Himself will come forth on the day of resurrection, and the angels with him in ranks or in rows, they will come forth with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِأَرْضِ الْأُمَمِ وَحِسَابِهِمْ وَحِسَابِهَا, يعني لِأَرْضِ الْأُمَمِ, for the ard, يعني for the exposition or the presentation or display of the nations of the earth, from the first man until the last, would be presented standing forth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also for their hisab, or their accounting. And in one of the copies of this aqeedah, the words are added, وَحِسَابِهَا وَأُقُوبَتِهَا وَثَوَابِهَا, يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come forth for the ard, for the exposition or the presentation of the nations of the earth, and for their accounting and their punishment and their reward. Yani al-hisab, it also includes the result of the hisab, that is al-uquba, the punishment, or al-thawab, the reward. وتوضع الموازين لوزن أعمال العباد. And the mawazin, the balances, يعني upon which things would be weighed, they would be set up for the weighing of the actions or the deeds of the people. لوزن أعمال العباد, for weighing the deeds of the people, the servants, the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 8, verse 7, فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That whoever his mawazin, his balance, his scales would be heavy, yani meaning heavy with good deeds, as opposed to those whose scales would be light with good deeds. Those whose scales would be heavy with good deeds, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And indeed, these are those who would be successful. Yani success here meaning the ultimate success, that is, the entry into Al-Jannah. وَتُعْتَوْنَا صَحَائِفُهُمْ or صَحَائِفَهُمْ صَحَائِفَهُمْ بِعَمَالِهِمْ. And they would be given, يعني the people, they would be given their صحائف, يعني their records, the records of their deeds. They would be given the records of their deeds, the records that contain their deeds, or they would be given the صحائف in accordance with their deeds. According to their deeds, يعني it would determine how they would be given their records. فَمَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. So whoever is given his book or his record in his right hand, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, then he would be given an easy account. Yani according to the people's deeds, it would determine how they would be given their record. So whoever is given his record, his book in his right hand, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, then he would be given an easy account, حِسَاب يَسِير. وَمَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. But whoever is given his book or his record behind his back, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُسْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا, then these, they would enter into a fire. And those who are given their books in their right hand, they are the successful. And those who are given their books behind their back, these are those who would enter the fire. The ard of the nations, as it is mentioned in some of the authentic hadith, the prophets and their people would be presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or the ard, as in some other hadith, it means that which would take place on Yawm Qiyamah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the world, He would present to the people their deeds. He would present to them their deeds. As for al-hisab, it is what is intended by it. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would cause His servants to stand in front of Him, and He would make known to them their deeds that they have done, and their speech which they have spoken, and whatever they were upon, their life that they lived in this world, whether it was iman or kufr, belief or disbelief, istiqama or inhiraf, standing upright, yani being upright on the straight path, or deviation, ta'a or isyan, obedience or disobedience, and whatever they deserve, yani whatever they are entitled to according to what they have done, whether reward or punishment. Yani the hisab, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would present to the people their deeds, whatever it is, and then He will also present to them that which they deserve of reward or punishment. And the hisab, it includes what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say to His servants and what they would say to Him, and the proofs that He would present against them, and the witnesses that He would bring forth, and the weighing of their deeds. And the hisab, it might be easy or it might be difficult. It is easy for whomever Allah makes it easy for. And we ask Allah to make us of those who would have and easy reckoning, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. Oh Allah, take account of me, an easy accounting or reckoning. Here the Shaykh Muhammad Al-Khumayyis, in his explanation of these words of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd, he said that the saying of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala would come forth on the day of resurrection and the angels would come forth along with him in ranks or in rows. He said this is like the saying of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Surah Al-Fajr, chapter 89, verse 22. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. That your Lord, he will come and the angels in ranks or in rows. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 210, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا إِنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي ذُلَلٍ مِنَ الْغَمَامِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. Are they waiting? هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ, are they waiting for anything other than that Allah would come forth in the shadows of the clouds and the angels would come forth with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ, and the matter would be decided at that point. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes forth, the matter is finished, it is decided. It is the time of judgment, the time of hisab, and all matters would be returned to Allah for judgment. Here the Shaykh said that this sifa or characteristic of al-maji'u, the coming forth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is confirmed for Allah by the text of the Qur'an. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا إِنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ. Are they waiting for anything except that Allah will come forth to them? He said it is confirmed in the text of the Qur'an and also the coming forth of the angels. And this will be, and there will be in that day severe hardship and trials and terror and fear and fright, to the extent that no one knows except Allah. The words of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd that Allah would come forth and the angels, لِأَرْضِ الْأُمَمِ وَحِسَابِهِمْ وَحِسَابِهَا, that Allah will come forth for the purpose of the exposition or the presentation or the display of the nations to be brought forth in front of him, that all of the nations, all of the people, from the beginning of time until the day of judgment, that they would be brought forth in front of Allah, and then their accounting would be taken. And this is like the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Haqqa, chapter 69, verse 18, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. That on that day, you will be brought forth, yani in front of Allah, and nothing, even that which is the slightest of things that would be hidden, nothing would be hidden on that day. Nothing would be hidden. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verse 48, عُرِضُوا عَلَى رَبِّكَ صَفًّا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. And that they would be brought forth in front of your Lord, in rows or in ranks. Indeed, you have come forth to us just as we created you the first time. And the people would be brought in front of Allah in the same condition as when Allah created them in the beginning, without anything. So the people would be brought forth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection, and they would be given the recompense or the reward for their deeds. وَتُوضَعُ الْمَوَازِنُ لِوَزْنِ أَعْمَالِ الْعِبَادِ. And the scales or the balances would be set up for the weighing of the deeds or the actions of the ibad, of the people, of the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is like the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 47, وَنَدْعُ الْمَوَازِنَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. But we will set up the mawazin, the scales of justice, for the day of resurrection, so no soul will be wronged or no injustice at all would be done to anyone. And if even that which is the weight of a mustard seed, if it was that insignificant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we will bring it forth, or we will come forth with it, and Allah is sufficient to take account. So that on that day, the day of resurrection, the mizan, the balance, it would be set up, and it has two scales, kaffatan, two scales, one on each side. On each side of the balance, there's a scale to weigh the good deeds or the evil deeds of the human beings. No one knows how great they are except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is for the weighing of the good deeds of the person or his evil deeds. And that human being, that person, his condition will be in accordance with that which has precedence or that which is most. Yani if his good deeds are more, then his condition would be accordingly. And if his evil deeds are more, likewise. And this is from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 102, فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And whoever's good deeds, whoever's scales are weighty, and are heavy with good deeds, then these would be successful. Yani success is based on the predominance of one's good deeds over evil deeds. Indeed, the human being is imperfect, and there is no one who is without sin. And therefore, what is expected of the human being is that their good deeds should predominate the evil deeds. That whenever some evil is done, sin is committed, that one should remove it and make up for it by doing good deeds, so that one's good deeds outweigh the evil deeds. Yani whoever's scales of good deeds outweigh or overcome the scale of their evil deeds, then that person will be from the people of Jannah. The fa'izin, those who are winners. Al-muflihin, those who are successful. Indeed, this is the greatest success or the supreme success. Not the success in passing the examinations that are in front of us, or the success in getting a promotion on one's job, but the real success, the supreme success, is on that day when everyone will stand before Allah and their deeds will be presented. And nothing will be hidden. Everything would be brought forth, whether great or small. The saying of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd, وَيُعْتَوْنَا صَحَائِفَهُمْ بِعَمَالِهِمْ, that they would be given their records according, containing their deeds, or in accordance with their deeds. And the way they would be given their records, it would be based on their deeds, or those records would contain their deeds. And this expression is a little strange, and the Shaykh, in explaining these words, he said that this is the original wording that came in the text of the book, يُعْتَوْنَا صَحَائِفَهُمْ بِعَمَالِهِمْ. Perhaps the correct wording is يُعْتَوْنَا صَحَائِفَ أَعْمَالِهِمْ, and is that they would be given the records of their deeds. Or perhaps what is intended is that they would be given their records in accordance with their deeds. In accordance with their deeds, or in consideration of their deeds. Every human being would be given their record on the day of resurrection, written in it whatever they have done. Yani it will contain the writing of all of their deeds. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. So whoever is given his book in his right hand, then he will soon be taken to account. Account would be made of him, and it will be an easy account. The one who is given his book in his right hand, he will have an easy account. These are the people of paradise, the winners, those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would call to account, an easy accounting. Then he would forgive them, and then he would order that they be admitted into the paradise. However, مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ, but whoever is given his book behind his back, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُسْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا, then these would enter into the fire. This is the second group, or the second type those who would be given their books on the day of resurrection. The second type of those who would be given their books on the day of resurrection. However, because they were people of evil, filth and sin, for that reason they would be given their books in their left hand from behind their back. And their reward, those who are given their books in their left hand or behind their back, their reward is as in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Inshiqaq, chapter 84, verses 9 through 11, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا وَيَصْلَى صَعِيرًا. That those who are given their books behind their back, that soon they would call for or supplicate for destruction. They would want to be destroyed. And they will enter into the fire. Then the Shaykh closed this paragraph with supplication, نسأل الله العافية من الخذلان. But we ask Allah to protect us. Yani that He save us from being of those who are abandoned, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give the tawfiq or the success of following His guidance in this world. Whoever Allah abandons, indeed those people will be losers. Here the Shaykh, he says here that there are three points from this section. The first of them is Maji'ullah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. The coming of Allah on the day of resurrection for the accounting, for taking account of the people, and that this is true, this is a fact, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come forth. And with this al-maji'u, it is a sifa, or a characteristic that is confirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an as well as in the Sunnah. The second point is that the mizan, the balance, it would be set up on the day of resurrection for the weighing of the deeds of the ibad, of the people. And this mizan, you'll see in the handout that we have given, there's some detail given. It is sufficient for us to say that mizan is the singular of mawazin. And it refers to that thing or that instrument which is used to determine the lightness or heaviness of things. A mizan, linguistically it means that instrument which is used to determine whether something is heavy or light, or how heavy or how light it is. However, technically, in the Sharia, the meaning of mizan, it refers to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will set up on the day of resurrection for the weighing of the deeds of the people, or the records of the people, or the people themselves. And there's some discussion here, which we will pass over for now for the sake of time. You can read it on your own time, related to whether or not the mizan, whether it is one mizan or there are many, mawazin. And the Qur'an only uses the plural expression, mawazin, while the Prophet ﷺ used in the authentic hadith the singular form, mizan. For that reason, the scholars have differed concerning this, and that difference, you can read about it in your time. What will be weighed on the mizan, also the scholars differed based on authentic evidences from the Qur'an or from the Sunnah. Some of them said that what would be weighed in the mizan are the deeds of the people, as in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that there are two words which are beloved to Ar-Rahman. They are light on the scales, and they are heavy. They are light on the tongue and heavy on the scales, and they are Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. This hadith is an indication that the deeds would be weighed on the mizan. While there are other hadith, the hadith of the Sahib al-Bitaqa, the one who 99 records of evil deeds were presented and put on the scale, and then only one good deed that he had, it was a bitaqa, a record, a card or something that had written on it his testimony of La ilaha illallah. And when that bitaqa was put on the other scale, it outweighed all of his evil deeds. And that is a proof that the records of the deeds would be weighed on the scales. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said a fat man would be brought forth on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and he would not be equal in weight to the wing of a mosquito. And this is a proof that the people themselves would be weighed on the scales, and therefore the scholars have differed whether or not it is the people, or their deeds, or their records. And some of the scholars explained it in various ways, showing that there's no contradiction between them, and some of them said that all of them would be weighed, and Allah knows best. The next paragraph, or before that, the third point from this paragraph, the final point from this paragraph, he said that the people of paradise, they would take their books in their right hand, and the people of hellfire would take their books in their left hand from behind their back. In the next paragraph, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd talks about as-sirat, and this is also of the true matters that a Muslim is required of necessity to believe in, of the matters of the unseen, of the matters of the last day, or the matters of the judgment and resurrection. وَأَنَّ الصِّرَاطَ حَقٌّ, that the sirat, the bridge that will go over the hellfire, that the people have to cross if they would enter the paradise. وَأَنَّ الصِّرَاطَ حَقٌّ, that it is true, it is a reality. يَجُوزُهُ الْعِبَادُ بِقَدْرِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ, that the people would cross over that sirat in accordance with their deeds. Yani those who have more deeds or better good deeds, they would be able to cross easily, and those who have less would have difficulty in crossing or be unable to. فَنَاجُونَ, then there would be some who would be successful in crossing over the bridge. مُتَفَاوِتُونَ فِي سُرْعَةِ النَّجَاةِ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ, and some of them يعني, would supersede others, some would be more advanced than others or would be over others in terms of يعني, the speed of their successful crossing over the sirat from the fire of Jahannam. Some people يعني, would cross quickly and some slowly and some would not make it. وَقَوْمٌ أَوْبَقَتْهُمْ فِيهَا أَعْمَالُهُمْ, and some of the people, their deeds, their actions would cause them to be destroyed, يعني, to be thrown into the fire for destruction. The Shaykh Muhammad Al-Khumayyis, Hafidhu Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him, says in the explanation of these words that the sirat is true and that the people would cross over it in accordance with their deeds. He said, as-sirat huwa al-jisru. He said, as-sirat, it is the bridge. It is a bridge that would be set up over the edges or the rim of the hellfire from one side to the other side. From one side of the hellfire to the other side, there would be a bridge. And the creatures, all of Allah's creatures, whom He wills, they would cross over that bridge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a long hadith, he has quoted here just a small portion of it. It is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. وَيُضْرَبُ الصِّرَاطُ بَيْنَ ظَهْرَنَيْ جَهَنَّمْ, that الصِّرَاط, the bridge, it would be set up, it would be laid across, يعني, the two sides of the hellfire, يعني, from one side to the other. And it is thinner than a hair from somebody's head, from thinner than a strain of hair from someone's head, and it is sharper than a sword. And the people would cross over it. Every person would cross in accordance with their deed. And also in that hadith, يعني, it is a long, important hadith. However, the portion that he has quoted here ends with the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said that the sirat, it would be laid across the hellfire. He said, and I will be the first one to cross it from amongst the messengers with my ummah. And there are other hadith which prove that the first one to cross would be the messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the first people to cross would be the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, فَنَاجُونَ, يعني الإمام ابن عبي زيد said, فَنَاجُونَ مُتَفَاوِتُونَ فِي سُرْعَةِ النَّجَاةِ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ, that they would be those who would be successful, who would be saved, يعني who would escape. And some of them would surpass others in the speed of their safe crossing over the bridge, over the hellfire. Some would surpass others. And then he says, based on the hadith that are in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the wordings are slightly different, he said, what he mentions here, it is from those hadith, he said there would be some who would cross like a barq, yani like a lightning, like lightning, the speed of lightning. And some of them would cross like a rih, like a wind, a fast wind. And some of them would cross like a jawid al-khayr, like fast, the fastest of horses. And some of them would cross like the strongest of men. And some of them would walk, walking quickly or rapidly. And some of them would walk, tumbling and falling down. يعني having difficulty in crossing, but they would keep going until they crossed over it. And all of this, it is in accordance with the deeds of the person, يعني in accordance with his good deeds. يعني the speed with which one can cross, it would be in accordance with the amount of their good deeds and the nature of their deeds. Indeed, now is the time for the true believer who believes that this is true to do those deeds which are pleasing to Allah, to make easy that day of crossing over that bridge. Whoever fails to cross it would fall into the hellfire. وَقَوْمٌ أَوْبَقَتْهُمْ فِيهَا أَعْمَالُهُمْ. And there are people whose deeds would cause them to be destroyed in it. Yani to be destroyed in the hellfire. There are some people who would be destroyed by their deeds. It would be the reason for their loss and for their destruction and for their wretched condition. Such that there would be clamps or claws, clamps that are on the sirat over the hellfire. There are clamps that would catch or grab hold of some of the people who are on the bridge, and then it would pull them down the distance of 70 seasons, the distance that one would travel in 70 seasons until they reach the bottom of the hellfire. And these are the people, the unfortunate ones, the people of hellfire, and we seek refuge in Allah from that. The Shaykh says, yani here, that the summary of what this section contains is that as-sirat, the bridge, it is true. It is something that will take place on the day of resurrection. It is a bridge that covers the fringes or the border of the hellfire, and that the people would cross it in accordance with their deeds. Also, concerning the sirat, we have made some notes, and there's no time to read those notes, but everyone can read them on their own. In any case, the sirat, linguistically, it means as-tariq, the path or the road. As-sirat, it means the road. Technically, it means the bridge which extends over the hellfire, which the people will cross over to enter the paradise. As for the hadith concerning its description, the hadith, there are many. From amongst them is that which is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that it is slippery and that it would have clamps or hooks like a thorny seed that is like yani a sa'adan found in Najd. And also that which is reported from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, that of sirat, it is thinner than a hair and it is sharper than a sword, which the Shaykh has mentioned yani in his explanation. And there is also some hadith which are reported from Bukhari and Muslim discussing how the people would cross over the bridge, that some would cross like the speed of the blinking of an eye, and some would cross like lightning or like a fast wind or like birds or as fast horses and horsemen, and some of them would escape, yani najin musallam, they would cross the bridge without any harm coming to them, and some najin makhdush, they would cross the bridge but after receiving some scratches from the clamps or from the hooks that would be over the bridge, and some of them would fall down into the hellfire until the last of them will cross and he will be dragged over it. Yani the last person who would cross the bridge successfully, who would escape from the hellfire, he would be dragged over the bridge in order for him to reach the other side and into the paradise. Bi-idhnillah. The last section that we want to mention is related to the hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is of Allah's favors to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and an honor that he will give to him on yawm qiyamah. And even though some of the scholars have narrated a hadith which suggests that other prophets would also have a fountain, but in any case, if it is true, no doubt the fountain or the hawd of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be the greatest of them, and the people who gather around it and drink from it would be the most. Here Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd rahimahullah says, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِحَوْضِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَارِدُهُ أُمَّتُهُ لَا يَظْمَأُ مَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ وَيُذَادُ عَنْهُ مَنْ بَدَّلَ وَغَيَّرُ. Also it is required to believe or to have al-Iman or faith sincere true faith in the hawd of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that his ummah would come to it. They would come to that hawd, to that fountain, and drink from it. And whoever drank from it, he would never be thirsty. لَا يَظْمَعُ مَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ. Yani whoever drank from it would never experience thirst again. And as for those who exchanged and changed the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those people would be far removed and they would be prevented from reaching it. They would not be able to reach the hawd of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani some people from his ummah. The Shaykh says in the explanation of this point, he says that the words of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd, that it is required to have faith in the hawd or the fountain of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his ummah or his followers would come to and drink from, he said this is from the obligatory matters of iman, that a person, that it is obligatory to believe in it. And that this hawd, it will be, that there will be for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a hawd, yani a fountain of water, that the people of his ummah will come to on the yawmul qiyamah to drink from it. And this is proven in innumerable hadith that are reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others, and from amongst them he has mentioned a small portion of one of the hadith that is reported by Al-Bukhari. He said, أَنَا فَرَتُكُمْ عَلَى الْحَوْضِ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I will be your forerunner, or I will precede you to the hawd, yani I will go ahead, I will be the first one to reach there, and I will be waiting for you to quench the thirst of the true believers. He said that he will wait for his ummah in order to give them drink. And he said, as far as the description of this hawd, he said it is extremely spacious, yani it is very large. Its water is whiter than Lebanon, and it is sweeter than honey, and its scent, it is like the fragrance of musk, of sweet-smelling perfume, and its drinking vessels are like the stars in the sky, yani in number. And this has been mentioned, all of what he said here has been mentioned in the hadith that is reported by Al-Bukhari from Abdul ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hawdi masiratu shahr, that my hawd, it is the distance of traveling 1 month. Ma'uhu abayadu min al-laban, its water is whiter than milk. Warihuhu atyabu min al-misk, and its scent or fragrance is more fragrant or more sweet smelling than the mist. وَكِيزَانُهُ كَنُجُومَ السَّمَاءِ, and its drinking vessels are like the number of stars in the sky. مَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهَا فَلَا يَظْمَأُ أَبَدًا, and whoever drinks from it would never be thirsty again. Then the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani the end of this hadith, he mentions the end of this hadith, مَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهَا فَلَا يَظْمَأُ أَبَدًا, that whoever drinks from it will never experience thirst again. Then he said the words of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd, وَيُزَادُ عَنْهُ مَنْ بَدَّلَ وَغَيَّرَ, yani that whoever has exchanged something of the deen of Allah, or exchanged the deen in totality for another deen, or whoever has changed, غَيَّرَ, something from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person or those people, that they would be far removed from the hawd of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would be prevented from reaching it. They would be prohibited or forbidden to reach it, and they would be stopped from reaching to it, to drink from it. Whoever exchanges or whoever changes something in the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of any aspect of it, anything from it, whether it is in the matters of belief, al-aqidah, or whether it is in the matters of worship, al-ibadah, or even in the matters of character and conduct and behavior and manners, whoever changed something from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then their punishment is that they would be prevented from drinking from the haud of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of the scholars like Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi said that in accordance with that which they changed, whether it was of the serious matters or the more severe matters like the matters of Aqidah, or whether it was of something lesser, then they might be prevented for some time and then they might be forgiven, Allahu A'lam, and they might drink from it because they are from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if they have any exchange or change something. And then he said the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is reported by Al-Bukhari. And this hadith that the Shaykh has mentioned here in the sharh or the explanation, it appears as though he has taken two hadith which are both from Bukhari, alhamdulillah they are sahih, and he has combined them as one narration, and they are following one another in the sahih of Al-Bukhari in the same section, so there is no harm here. He said the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيَرِدَنَّ عَلَيَّ أَقْوَامٌ أَعْرِفُهُمْ وَيَعْرِفُونِي. He said that some people, they will come forward to me, they would come to me, yani at the Hawd, at this time of resurrection, some people would come to me, and I know them, and they know me. He said, I know them, and they will know me. ثُمَّ يُحَالُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُمْ. That's the end of the first narration in Al-Bukhari. He said, then a barrier would be placed between me and them. A barrier, a screen, something to prevent them from reaching me. And in the other narration, which is similar, it contains these extra words, فَأَقُولُ إِنَّهُمْ مِنِّي. He said, then I will say, and the Prophet ﷺ would defend them. He would say, they are from me. They are from my ummah. They are my followers. فَيُقَالُ. Then it will be said to him, it will be said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا أَحْدَثُوا بَعْدَ. That you don't know what they have invented, what they have changed, the new things that they have brought forth after you, and after your death. You don't know what they have done after your death. فَأَقُولُ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, سُحْقًا سُحْقًا لِمَنْ غَيَّرْ بَعْدِي. He said that may they be far removed, may they be far removed from the mercy of Allah, those who have changed something, and have the deen of Allah after me. And this is the reward of everyone who exchanges something of the deen of Allah, or changes something in the deen of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is small or great, whether it is in the matters of belief, the aqaid, or in the matters of worship, al-ibadat, or other than these two things. So that which is obligatory on the Muslim is to be warned, a serious warning, from any innovation of changing something or adding something to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any shape or form or fashion. A similar hadith has also been narrated in Al-Bukhari, and he related to this topic, in which it will be in that hadith narrated from Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with her and her father. And a part of the hadith, the part that is important here for what we are talking about, it will be said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هَلْ شَعَرْتَ مَا عَمِلُوا بَعْدَكَ. Yani, did you know what they have done after you? And it will be said to him that they have continued to turn back on their heels. Yani, they have continued to turn back from that which you have left for them, to go in another direction or to follow something else. Here, the narrator of the hadith from Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma, Ibn Abi Mulayka radiallahu rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of the Tabi'een, he used to say when he narrated this hadith, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika أن نرجع على أعقابنا. O Allah, we seek refuge in you that we turn back on our heels. We seek refuge in you from turning back on our heels, from turning back after the true religion has come to us. أو نفتنا عن ديننا, or that we be tested or tried or put to test in reference to our religion. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also instructed us and encouraged us to supplicate. No one who is following the correct path should feel that they are saved and that they cannot go astray. And for that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the dua, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَحَّابُ. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. O Allah, do not cause our hearts to go astray after you have guided us. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one out of His favor and His bounty and His mercy that has given us the hidayah. And there is no guarantee that we will reach the destination without falling off the path or going astray or going back on our heels. And therefore, every believer should make that supplication, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Don't cause our hearts to deviate after you have guided us. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to supplicate, Allahumma sabbit qalbi ala deenik. Allahumma sabbit qalbi ala deenik. O Allah, make my heart firm on your deen. Because it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can give us firmness. The Shaykh, he said here, concerning the summary of this paragraph, that the hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a reality, it is true. And his followers, his ummah, they would come to it and drink from it, and whoever drank from it would never be thirsty again. And also of great importance and a warning to the true believers is the second point, and that is that the Ahl Bid'ah, the people of innovation who have innovated in the deen of Allah, who have invented something new in the deen of Allah, those people who have exchanged something of what Allah has legislated for that which they themselves by their own mind, by their own intellect, felt is better, then they should be warned that they would be prevented from drinking from the hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the end of what we have time to cover, what we intended to cover, except that, yani also make a note of the hawd, the definition of the hawd, yani linguistically, and most of these definitions, gathering or collecting something. When someone collects or gathers water, it is said, hawda al-ma yahuduhu. Yani he gathered or gathers the water. Thus it refers to a place where water is gathered. Technically, al-hawd, it means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fountain of water that flows from Al-Kawthar, the river in paradise, which Allah has promised him. Yani it is technically referring to the fountain of water, which that water flows from Al-Kawthar, from a river in paradise, but that hawd is in the final place of standing on the Day of Judgment. Yani that hawd is outside of the paradise, while its water is coming from Al-Kawthar, a river inside of paradise. And the descriptions of it in brief, yani that are contained in the authentic hadith, and most of those hadith can be found in Al-Bukhari and other collections of authentic hadith, is that its length and width are equal to the distance traveled in a month. Its drinking vessels are equal to the number of stars in the sky. Its water is whiter than milk, sweeter than honey, and its scent is more pleasant than the fragrance of musk. Whoever drinks from it will never thirst again. And it also, yani the authentic hadith proving that it has two spouts, one of gold and the other of silver, through which flows the water of Al-Kawthar. And it exists now, yani the hawd exists now, just as the paradise and hellfire already exist. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swore by Allah that I am looking at my hawd right now, that I am seeing it right now, it is already in existence. Whoever innovated in the deen would not drink from the hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as Allah wills, Allah knows this. Very quickly, if we can look at the questions at the handout, and after that, if there's any time, we can take any questions. The first question, how much time before the adhan? 5 minutes? Huh? 10 minutes? Five. Let's take the questions quickly in case somebody has a question or comment or correction. The first question discuss al-maji'u, the coming as a sifa or characteristic of Allah the Most High. Yani what we can say is that al-maji'u, or the coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a confirmed characteristic in the Quran as well as in the Sunnah. Therefore it is obligatory on the true believer to confirm it without interpretation, without giving it some other meaning, and without denying its true meaning. Understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming is in a way that is suitable to His majesty and His glory. All of Allah's actions and His characteristics should be understood in a way that are suitable to Allah's majesty and it shouldn't be compared in any way to the characteristics or the descriptions of his creatures. Discuss the meaning and purpose of al-mizan, the balance. And in the meaning of al-mizan, technically, it is the balance in which the deeds of the human beings will be weighed. Its purpose is to weigh the deeds of the human being or the human beings themselves or their records on Yawm al-Qiyamah in order to determine whose good deeds outweigh the evil deeds in order to determine who would enter the paradise by Allah's favor and His mercy. Discuss how the people will receive their hisab on the day of resurrection. And in the way that the people would receive their hisab on the day of resurrection is that those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon would receive their records in their right hand. And these are the successful, the people of paradise. And those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His justice, would give their records in their left hand or behind their back, then they would not be of those who are favored to have an easy reckoning. Yani whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives their record in their left hand or behind their back, then they are due to be punished. What is the meaning of hisab yaseer? The meaning of hisab yaseer, it means an easy reckoning. However, exactly the meaning of it is that which is reported in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to supplicate to Allah for an easy reckoning, and she said to him, what is this, yani al-hisab al-yaseer? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at the record of a person. He will look at it. Al-hisab al-yaseer, it means that Allah would look at their deeds and then He would pass over it without calling them to account. That is al-hisab al-yaseer, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would merely look at a person's deeds and He would not call them to account for it. We ask Allah to grant us al-hisab al-yaseer. Discuss al-sirat, its definition and description. The definition of al-sirat, it is al-jisr, it is the bridge that would be over the hellfire that the people would have to cross in order to enter into the paradise. And its description, as we have mentioned, is that it is thinner than a strain of hair, and it is sharper than a sword, and it is slippery, and it has hooks that will pull some of the people that they will be punished by it, or it will pull them into the hellfire. Describe how the various people will cross the Sirat. And in the hadith that we mentioned, there are a number of descriptions. Some of them said that they would cross according to their deeds, at the speed of lightning, or like a wind, blinking of an eye, like fast horses, and so on. Some people would go across crawling. Some people, would be dragged across. Naam. May Allah make easy for the true believers to cross a sirat to the Jannah. What will happen to al-kafara, the disbelievers, and al-fajra, the sinners, when crossing a sirat? Yani the disbelievers, indeed, they would be pulled into the hellfire, and the sinners, disobedient Muslims, would either cross after some punishment, yani being scratched or scraped by the hooks, or they would be pulled into the fire along with the disbelievers and punished for as long as Allah willed. Discuss the hawd of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, its description, etc. We said that its distance, it is the distance from one end to another, the distance of traveling 1 month's journey, and that its water is whiter than milk, sweeter than honey, and its scent is more pleasant than the fragrance of sweet-smelling musk, and that its drinking vessels are equal to the number of stars, and so on. Who are those who will be prevented from drinking from the hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and why? The people who would be prevented from drinking from the hawd are those who exchanged or changed, who innovated into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would be prevented because of that innovation or changing something of the deen of Allah. Discuss the importance of having iman or faith in the events of the resurrection day. Anyone can answer that question as they see. However, what is important is that In essence, we can say that believing in these events of the resurrection day, it helps and it motivates the true believer to take account of themselves in this life now, before the day of resurrection comes, knowing the seriousness of that day, the terror of that day, and the fright and fear. It is indeed a motivation for the one who has iman, who believes that these things are true, to know them, and to know them in detail as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed them to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is indeed a motivation and a help for one to do good and to restrain from doing evil. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any questions or comments or corrections, perhaps you can just take a moment or two. But